Okay, we are back for the second hour of the weekly Reverse Speech Show, and it's a great pleasure that I welcome to the show investigative journalist Jim Mars. Jim was actually my very first guest on my very first show that I did back in November 98. I started my own radio show, so I don't know whether Jim remembers that, but I was very pleased to have him on as my first guest, and I'm pleased to welcome him back. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, David, it's great to be back with you. I wish you hadn't mentioned that date, though. That seems like a long time ago.
It certainly does, doesn't it?
98, boy, that was way back there. That was pre-Obama.
Yes, it was. You remember that show, do you?
Yeah, I remember being on with you. I couldn't have told you the exact date. You must have written it down somewhere.
Well, you always remember key events like that, you know, your very first show.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Important milestones in your life, yes. So, hey, I understand that we're going to be together with Jeff Rentz this coming next Wednesday, right?
Yes, we are. Yeah, my class has been... My training class, been doing a research project into the RFK assassination, and they've come out with their report.
Oh, great!
That's gonna be
fascinating. I can't wait for that. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I got lots of questions for you, Jim. I want to talk a little bit about the JFK assassination because we've covered that on the show, and of course we did that great show together, you and I, and with Dick Allgaier, with Jeff Rent. So I've got a few nagging questions. Okay, so rack your brain. Lee Harvey Oswald, he was in New Orleans 3 months prior to the assassination. How did he get to Dallas, and what was his purpose in coming to Dallas? Do we know? Do we have any knowledge of that?
Well, he was originally from Dallas, okay? His mother lived in Fort Worth, and he had lived in Dallas in an apartment there prior to going to New Orleans. The question is, why did he go to New Orleans? And the answer, I think, can be found in the story of Judith Vere Baker. And she has a book out now on her experiences called Me and Lee. And she said they both were working for the CIA, and that he went to New Orleans to, number one, hand out pro-Castro literature on the street corner as part of his job to try to bring pro-Castroites out of the woodwork. That's been a time-honored method. You know, for instance, if you wanted to find a Muslim terrorist, what are you going to do? Look at the phone book? Go knocking on doors? No, you go down to a busy intersection and you carry a sign that says, "I support ISIS," or something like that. And most people are going to boo you, ignore you, but once in a while somebody might come up and say, "Hey man, I'm with you, you know, we got a little cell going on and we need people like you." And wow, there, see, it's an intelligence operation. And then while he was down there, he came into contact with David Ferry and was helping out at his cancer lab in his apartment. And that's where Judith Baker came in, because she had a background in cancer research. And then the next mysterious thing was when Oswald left and went down to Mexico City. And nobody had yet figured out what that was all about, although he was trying to get a visa to go into Cuba, and he didn't make it. And so then, before leaving, he wrote a letter to the Soviet embassy in Washington, saying, "I could not stay in Mexico any longer because I would have to apply for a new visa, and I would have to use my real name." And the letter is signed Lee Harvey Oswald. Well, you know, wait a minute. What does he mean by his real name? What was his real name? And this just shows that there was a lot of intelligence work going on. In fact, what most people aren't aware of is that there is a document, a letter, from J. Edgar Hoover himself, under with his signature to the Security Division of the State Department, saying that they were interested in Lee Harvey Oswald, and that they thought that somebody else was using his birth certificate. Okay, and said any information you have on this individual would be appreciated. This was written in 1960, 3 years before the assassination. And J. Edgar Hoover was personally aware of Lee Harvey Oswald and suspected that someone was impersonating him. It's all just amazing what you can find out once you really dig into the case. Unfortunately, most people just listen to TV. And every November, you know, they come out with something and they go, yeah, and then when he was killed by Oswald, and they just go on, they just simply will not deal with the corporate media will not deal with the facts of the case. And I think that eventually we're going to find that Lee Harvey Oswald is going to be exonerated, okay? For example, in the shooting of the Dallas policeman, J.D. Tippit, I know that in researching my book, Crossfire, on the Kennedy assassination, I came across at least three witnesses, including the assistant manager of the Texas Theater, who all encountered Oswald prior to the time the cop was shot. So that means that if there had been a fair trial, there would have been three alibi witnesses placing Oswald in the theater at the time the policeman was shot, and he would have been probably set free. And I think we can say the same thing about the assassination, because once you realize that there was more than one person shooting, which even the House committee determined that back in the 80s, they said, yeah, it's probably work of a conspiracy, because based on two separate sets of acoustic studies, there was at least one shot from the grassy knoll. And I think if they had tested other locations in the plaza, they probably could have come up with even more shooters and more locations where a shot was fired. So anyway, the whole thing is just, you know, it's a can of worms. And the only thing that everybody can agree to is that it's controversial. Only, David, let me tell you, I don't think it is truly controversial. It just appears to be controversial because of the wide gulf between those who have accepted the government's pronouncements that Oswald did it all by himself, end of story, and those people who have actually studied the case.
I saw a article on the internet last year that Lee Harvey Oswald's name, a star, was put up on the CIA wall. Do you know anything about that?
I have heard that. I have heard that, and it does make sense, since the very astute military historian John Newman has written a book, Oswald and the CIA, and based just on internal message traffic within the agency, he determined that the agency was using Lee Harvey Oswald operationally prior to the assassination. Now, see, that ought to be on headlines all across the country. CIA used Oswald prior to the assassination, okay? But see, no, no, that never gets passed along to anybody.
Wow. Is it, do you think it's a deliberate suppression, or is it just the media have bought the official line, hook, line, and sinker?
Well, if they have, then they're not worth a darn as a media, okay? I've been in the media for 50 years, and I immediately began to look behind the pronouncements, and I was, by 1975, I had a headline story in my newspaper, to top of the front page, said that there could have been a coup d'etat in the United States in 1963, because that's where the evidence was leading me, and that's where it continues to lead me, and that's where most everybody I know who actually studied the case comes to realize that there was a conspiracy, there was more than one gunman. The truth of the assassination has been covered up at the federal level, okay, all these years, and that's what makes, at that time, which is what was simply another Texas homicide, it's turned it into a national coup d'etat. In fact, John J. McCloy, one of the prominent members of the Warren Commission who first, investigation of the assassination. He said at the very beginning of their deliberations, before they had even seen all the evidence or talked to anybody or knew anything about what actually had happened, he said, the thing that is of primary importance is that we must show the world that America is not just another banana republic where the government can be changed by conspiracy. Well, but I hate to tell you, we are just another banana republic where the government can be changed by a conspiracy.
Yeah, and the 60s saw it, didn't they? JFK, then RFK, and then MLK. It was
right.
One after
well,
the other.
These, and what was the common denominator? What were they all doing that would have been enough incentive to have them assassinated? And I would tell you that it was opposing the military-industrial complex. And Kennedy was going to shut down the Vietnam War. It never would have gotten to the extent that it did. I don't believe he would have ever allowed ground combat troops to go into Vietnam. Okay, RFK was following in his footsteps, also trying to end the Cold War. And also, he told college kids out in California just a few days before he himself was assassinated, somebody asked him about the death of John Kennedy. He said, I can't do anything about the death of my brother until I have the power of the presidency. And he knew what you and I think, both know, that this was a high-level conspiracy within the government, and to try to bring any justice to the matter, you had to have control over the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service, on and on and on. And so then he gets killed, nothing happens. Martin Luther King, as long as he was pushing for civil rights, he was making enemies. You know, the rednecks didn't like him, and Hoover didn't like him, but that wasn't really enough to assassinate him. What got him assassinated was when he began to talk about mounting a 2-million-man march on Washington to end the war. Okay, now he's gone up against the defense industry and defense contractors and, all of Bell Helicopter and all of these other, General Dynamics and all these other huge corporations that were making millions off of warfare, and they still are. Why is the world in turmoil? Why are we fighting in Iraq? Why are we still fighting now we're fighting in Afghanistan, and now we're fighting in Syria or backing those guys? Well, where did we get to that? When did we start acting like the Fourth Reich?
Oh, I know. It's insane. The whole thing's crazy. Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. You talk about MLK, Martin Luther King. Yeah, I'm setting Martin Luther King as a research project for my next class. So there
well, good, because there's another conspiracy, and the account they gave us and James Earl Ray, that's all just not right. It's not true, And so there's another one. I would love to see what you could do on reverse speech on some of the people, and some of those people go talk to the Reverend Jesse Jackson. He was there. There's people still alive that could tell you about that.
Okay. All right. I don't know much about Martin Luther King assassination. James O'Reilly, he was the alleged gunman. I mean, they actually caught him shooting, didn't they? I'm not sure. Fill me in a bit.
Okay. The thing you need to do is go to the civil suit filed by King's family. And there was a huge trial, I want to say in Memphis. Anyway, you can Google it and find it. And, they convinced the jury said, yeah, this was a conspiracy and the government was involved. And of course, needless to say, that didn't make headlines anywhere. They kind of passed on that one. It's not like it wasn't covered, but they buried it and it hit a little bit and went away, so nobody knows it. But see, that one's already been judged by a jury as being not only a conspiracy, but a conspiracy involving the federal government of the United States.
Wow. Wow.
Wow is right. Wow is right. If everybody in this country knew what I knew, there'd be a revolution tomorrow morning.
Well, what I've got on RFK is pretty damning. Mind control and being set up as a fool guy. And, wait till you see
well,
the show on
the
Wednesday
thing.
Night.
Yeah. Sirhan, has been shown to be a psychologically mind controlled victim. He still doesn't remember what happened in the pantry there. It was even wilder as there was his mother testified at his trial that he'd be seemed to be just fine, and then he'd get a phone call, and then he'd just, without saying anything, he'd leave the house, he'd be gone for days, come back, and his mother said, you know, where'd you go? He'd say, I don't know. And what that reminds me of is the movie that Frank Sinatra was in about the brainwashed Korean guy, the Manchurian Candidate. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He'd get a phone call, and a guy, voice would say, get a deck of cards and start turning it over. He'd turn it over, and when he got to the Queen of Hearts or the Queen of Spades, one of the particular card, that would trigger him, and he would go off into his hypnotic thing. And that's a real thing, folks. That really happens. They can do this. There was a book out several years ago called The Control of Candy Jones, and it was this woman who was a kind of a real patriotic gal, okay? During World War II, she was a kind of a model and a celebrity, and she would go and entertain all the troops. And after the war, she started a modeling agency in New York. And then the first thing you know, though, she was having hard time sleeping and having nightmares and having mental problems. And so she went to a hypnotist who put her under and found out that she had split personalities that had been implanted in her by the U.S. military, and that they would even send her on foreign missions, okay, to foreign countries, and she'd go off and do whatever they ordered to do and then come back, and then they would snap her back into her Candy Jones lifestyle, and she would forget all about it. So it's amazing.
Unbelievable. Wow.
It is. So you might want to, that would be interesting to find somebody like that and then do reverse speech on them to find out if they're, because their conscious mind has been messed with. It'd be interesting to see if their subconscious mind was similarly messed with.
Well, with Sahan, I mean, I found reverses on him that talk about him being mind controlled, like they sealed with their phoning, I'm forced to do it, they set me up. So even though he was mind controlled, the truth was still in his unconscious, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, exactly. Okay, so you're saying the subconscious does know the truth.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, interesting stuff.
So, who have you mind-controlled? Who have you back-speeched lately?
Who have I reversed lately for mind-control?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've been fairly busy with Donald Trump, of course. You know, no mind-control.
Well, okay, well, there you go. Tell me about Trump. Is Trump on the level? Does he mean what he say, or is he hedging?
No, he's on the level. He means what he says. His reverses are all congruent.
Okay, that's encouraging. That's encouraging.
Yeah. No, they've been congruent ever since he first started. So did quite a few shows on Jeff Rentz about Trump and his congruity. I think he's going to be a good president. We'll see. I mean, he's unconventional. There's no doubt about that. But someone told me a while back that history has a way of bringing the presidents that the country needs at that particular point in history. We will see. I hope he makes it to the election. I got two reverses on him talking about assassination, so that's a bit concerning. We'll be covering that in the next Jeff Rentz show.
Let me tell you about an audio book that I've been listening to. It's called Battlefield Earth. And it's based on the book by L. Ron Hubbard. And a lot of people don't realize, but back in the 30s and 40s, L. Ron Hubbard was quite a prolific novelist, even a pulp writer. And he wrote science fiction. He wrote crime novels, Western novels, spy novels, thrillers, you know, to anything. And then in the later part of his life, in the early 80s, he wrote this Battlefield Earth, which turned out to be turned out to be not only a bestseller around the world, but you know, they got all kinds of. It's been named on the Random House Reader Survey. It's been named number 3 on the top 20 novels of the 20th century or something like that. And in fact, this audio of it, was just named the, the best audio, the best of 2016 by Audiophile Magazine. But anyway, the reason I'm mentioning this is because I don't know how old you are, David, but when I was a kid, I used to, I hate to date myself, but we didn't have TV. I mean, there was no TV. So we all listened to the radio. And at night, I'd listen to the radio and listen to Tarzan and Gunsmoke and The Shadow and just, you know, Gangbusters and all these different things. And they would dramatize them on the air, you know, with voice characterizations and sound effects. And you may have seen the movies where they rattled a tin that was where it sounds like thunder and they actually fire off gun when they're having a gun. And okay, and it was great because you'd lay there and you imagined, you could picture everything that was going on in your own mind, but it was your picture. It was not what somebody else thought it all should look like. This was what you thought it looked like. And of course, TV and movies, you just sit there and the experience washes over you and they tell you, you know, if the monster comes out, you see what the monster is, okay? And believe me, it's a lot more terrifying when it's just in your mind and you can conjure up just the worst thing you can think of, you know. So anyway, and I thought, well, that'd be great if people today could have that experience again. And Battlefield Earth has this 47-hour audio tape, I guess, or it's not a tape. You can also get the USB plug-in thing, and also the disc. And it's character. They have 67 character actors playing 150 characters, and they got 150,000 sound effects, and they got a full musical score that was written simply for this audiobook. And so it's really kind of amazing. And so I thought this is great, and I mentioned this because I think it'd be great for people to be able to, if you're really on a long, long trip or a long air flight or you just want to be alone and have the experience, you know, just kind of cut the lights down real low, turn the volume up a little bit, and then just imagine all this stuff that's going on with real sound effects and real music, everything else. So, yeah, doesn't that sound cool?
That sounds amazing. You've got me wanting to go out and get it, Jim.
Well, the whole thing's based on, of course, alien invasion of Earth. I don't know about you, but I'm not... that is not an invasion by aliens is not the the highest concern on my list right now.
It's not on my list either, so I'm sure we'll be okay. Okay, we're going to go to our break, Jim. Just hang on and we'll be back, folks.
When we come back, I'll tell you why we're not going to have an alien invasion.
Okay, I'll look forward to hearing that. Okay, don't touch that keyboard, folks. We'll be back right after this.
Do you struggle with your weight? Are you frustrated or discouraged? Think you've tried everything to lose weight? Tired of weight loss products that promise results and don't deliver? There are 12 main reasons why you struggle with excess weight and have a difficult time losing it. From overeating to hormonal imbalances and underactive thyroid, even sleep problems, and even dieting itself. The truth is, the 12 causes of weight loss problems are all addressed by one product, Royal Velvet. You, yes you, can join the scores of Rinse listeners who have stopped the madness and no longer struggle with weight issues. Maybe you've heard them talk with Jeff about their amazing transformations on his show. Simply go to RoyalVelvetNow.com, click on the weight loss section, and learn the truth about the real reason obesity is a deadly epidemic that you can avoid. Then click on the Rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you will be on your way to a healthier, slimmer, more youthful you. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
Would you like to change your life? Maybe access your deepest potential? Do you have blocks that hold you back or long-term issues you haven't been able to resolve? Then Reverse Speak Session Work is for you. With Reverse Speech Session Work, your voice is recorded and then analyzed for speech reversals. These reversals will give a detailed look into the unconscious mind and pinpoint precise reasons for current behavioral problems. Then following another recording, a series of metaphoric journeys into the unconscious mind are mapped out and delivered to you. These journeys will change deep unconscious structures and hence current behavior. Change your life today. Sign up for Reverse Speak Session Work. Go to www.reversespeak.com or call 503-568-7077. Okay, we are back for the final segment of the Weekly Reverse Speak Show. My guest in this hour is investigative journalist Jim Mars, who is a virtual walking encyclopedia. So, Jim, tell me why we're not going to be invaded by aliens.
If you actually study, a lot of people think that the UFO issue only came up starting in the 40s when that fellow saw some saucers flying around Mount Rainier. And then, of course, we had the infamous crash at Roswell and on like that. But, you know, if you really study the literature, you'll find that there was unconventional aircraft recovered by the Army and the Navy following the 1942 air raid over Los Angeles, okay? And then it even goes back farther than that, because then here, just right close to where I live here in North Texas, little town of Aurora, and in 1897, a cigar-shaped object crashed there. It had been flying around through the countryside and reported on newspapers all down through the Midwest and into Texas. And the Dallas Morning News and the Fort Worth papers all carried stories on it. And the Dallas Morning News story said the pilot whose body was recovered was badly disfigured, but enough was recovered to show that he was not an inhabitant of this world. So, you know, something very strange happened in 1897. Then you're going back, there's reports through the 1800s, okay, of airships. And then you go on back and you find that the Romans talked about flying shields, the Egyptians talked about flying boats, the Chinese talked about their flying dragons. And so it goes all the way back to history and all the way back to the world's first great civilization in Sumer, the Sumerians, who wrote in cuneiform tablets in clay, and then they were baked and turned into stone, and a lot of them are still here. And they've been, only about 20% of them have been translated, but the ones that have been translated, they talk about how that hundreds of thousands of years ago the Anunnaki came, and the Anunnaki translates as those who came from the heaven and landed on the earth. So it goes back all through history. So if any of that's true, and believe me, the evidence for this ancient astronauts or alien visitation on the Earth in the distant past is certainly compelling, if not overwhelming. And so if that's true, then they certainly, if they wanted to invade us and kill us and burn our cities, they could have done it long before now. They could have done it when all we had to oppose them with would have been rocks and spears, you know. So I don't think that we have to worry about a alien invasion from space, but we do have to worry about why is our intergalactic neighbors out there visiting here, but basically hiding away. They're not landing saying, here we are. And of course, that's easy enough to understand. Until very, very recently, and actually even until today in certain areas, if something landed and some strange looking critter got out, it's just likely as not somebody to take a shot at them and try to talk to them, right? So I think until we get a little more civilized on this planet and we get together, because after all, the old stereotypic picture is that the UFO comes down and out comes this little gray guy or whatever, and what does he say? He says, take me to your leader. Well, you know, I don't think we have a leader. And until somebody can speak for Earth, they're probably not going to let themselves be known or make direct contact. Yeah. But they're conditioning us. They're conditioning us because of all the flying saucer reports going back to the end of World War II, and then coming right on up, and then the crop circles, the abduction phenomena, the experiencers who have experienced the abduction phenomena, they just don't feel like they were abducted. You know, I had one woman tell me she felt like an honored guest, and to the best of my knowledge, everyone I've talked to who said they've been taken aboard a ship and taken off planet somewhere, they have always come back. Okay, now maybe there's some that I guess if they don't come back, we'll never know. And there are missing people, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't think they're taking people off and keeping them or killing them, because most of the stories we have came from people who they brought back. Okay.
Interesting.
So have you found in reverse speech anyone who subconsciously knows about the alien presence?
No, you know, when I was on the Art Bell show, I did a few reversals on the alleged contactees, and I don't know. I found enough reversals to indicate the phenomenon is real. There's no doubt in my mind about the reality of it, but no, I never looked at anyone who was taken and then returned. No, but I'd like to. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Well, what I found was, it was really interesting to me, was that, see, they talk about the getting abducted by aliens. Well, you know, the whole term abduction, that's kidnapping. That sounds, that's a bad term. That's a negative term. And so what surprised me was that the people who feel like they've had a traumatic experience, they want to know what happened. They want to know why. And so a lot of them go to seek professional help. They go to psychologists. They go to support groups. They go to Dr. David Jacobs and others who deal with people like that. And as a result, all we hear is from the negative side of it. You know, people who felt like they've been traumatized and taken against their will. But then what I found, and of course these are the people that we hear about. What you don't hear about are the equal numbers of people who are taken and brought back, but they thought it was kind of cool. You know, they thought, wow, man, what I got to see. And heretofore, they did not want to risk public ridicule by saying, hey, I was abducted by a flying saucer, or I went on a flying saucer. So you don't hear from them. So if you would throw the number of people who've had the experience but have not gone public with it, or have not tried to seek professional help because they felt like it was some kind of traumatic event, you add those people in with the people that have come forward and talked about negative, and you've expanded the number of people with these experiences by a considerable factor.
Right. Wow. I'd like to get hold of some of those recordings. I don't suppose they'd be on the internet, would they?
I'm not sure. See, I'm not sure that, well, there's got to be some recording somewhere, but there's not a central point for that, because up until very, very recently, last few years, you know, nobody really wanted to talk about that, because the government, starting back in the early 50s, had laid down a program of secrecy and denial and ridicule. Okay, you didn't see anything, and if you keep saying you did see something, then you probably need psychiatric help. And you know, David, that's been very effective in keeping a large number of people quiet about their experiences, because they don't want that public ridicule.
No, I can understand that. That's the whole area I need to look into, and I have read into that.
It's the same thing happened with pilots, okay? The military pilots, back in the early 50s, the Air Force issued a shoot-down order. They said, if you see a UFO, you know, and it doesn't, you know, order it to land. If it doesn't land, then shoot it down, okay? Well, then what happened was, for a few years there was a rash of deadly air crashes, fighter jets around the world were just dropping out of the skies, okay? And then the Air Force, quite prudently, decided in the late 50s, they said, okay, never mind, we're rescinding the shoot down order. If you see a UFO, you simply report it. Don't try to shoot at it. And all the crashes stopped. So we were kind of in a little secret war with UFOs back in the 50s. I found that real interesting. But then they silenced the pilots, because the pilots in the 40s, early 50s, when they had a UFO encounter, military pilots would contact their military commander, like their base commander, and civilian pilots would contact the executives with their airline, okay? Well, but then the government came in and said, we need to standardize all these reports. We're getting all these reports, and they're just here, there, and hearsay, and we need to standardize all this. So everybody, both military and civilian, if you see a UFO, you call this number in Washington. Well, the military pilots found that if they went that route, that they would be held for days, interrogated, generally passed over for promotion, and so they learned not to report anything. And same thing with the civilian pilots. They learned that if they called the number and tried to report a UFO, the next thing you know, men in suits would show up, keep them, incommunicado for a couple of weeks. They'd lose all that pay, and plus their employers would kind of start looking at them out of the corner of their eye, like, you know, maybe there's something wrong with them. And so they learned real quick not to call anybody. I recall hearing a recording of a pilot and the air traffic controller, and he's calling in. He's all excited. He said, "Yes, it's a big bright globe, and it's off to the right wing, and it's keeping track with us, and it's glowing." And you know, and the air traffic controller says, "Are you reporting a UFO?" And there's a big long silence, and the pilot finally says, "No," because they learn what happens when you try to report these things. And so for many years, that kept the subject off the front burner. Nobody really knew how many people were having these experiences because they weren't talking.
Interesting. Do you think we'll ever go for disclosure?
Well, I'm here to tell you, disclosure's already here. The problem is, I think what you're really saying when you say we're going to have disclosure is there ever going to be a government official who stands up at a press conference and tells the public, okay, we've lied to you for 70 years, but here's the straight dope, okay? No, that ain't going to happen. What politician could stand the heat of getting up and admitting that they've been lying to us all this time? So when disclosure comes, it's going to come not through us, but through them. All they got to do, think about it, David, all they got to do is just take one of their big saucers and hang over a big city just long enough for all the news crews to get out there with their cameras and do an on-the-scene report, you know, and the game's up. Everybody knows they're here. Everybody knows what's going on. See, but again, I don't think they're going to do that until they deal with us as a unified people, as a unified Earth. And I have no problem with that concept. I doubt you do either. I can perfectly see that in the near future, somebody's going to ask you where you're from, and you're going to say, "Oh, I'm from Earth." You know, and they're going to say, "Where's that?" And you say, "Well, it's kind of way out on the outer edge of the Milky Way galaxy, you know." "Oh, in the boondocks." Yeah, we're from the boondocks. Because that's actually kind of where we are. And so I don't have to, philosophically, I don't have any problem with that concept of one world people, one world government, you know. But the problem is that there is a clique of very wealthy individuals, corporatist, if you will, because they control the major corporations, they control the basic mineral resources of this planet, gas and oil and iron and, you know, aluminum and basic metals, they're going to see to it that we don't. They're trying to push us into a new world order, a socialist order that would be centrally controlled. And their aim is that once they can create this one world government, one world politics, one world society, one world socialism, to operate efficiently, it would need central authority. And they know they have the money and the power to seize control over the central authority, and then they've achieved one of the long-standing goals of so many people down through history, which is to control the world. And frankly, I don't want to be controlled. So, yes, we need to go to a global society. We need to go to a global government, but it's got to be done with our eyes wide open and with everyone understanding and agreeing to what we're doing, not being forced into what's euphemistically called the New World Order.
Right. Well, that's a whole other topic all in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. We're going to have a whole show just on that one.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, look, we got about 2 minutes left. I want to pump your brains about Pizzagate, fairly new in the media. What do you know about it? Well, I'm doing research into it now.
Well, I think it fits into a broader picture. You know, I've been studying about this Pizzagate, and they've accused this pizza place of being a front. And, you know, I don't know. I've never been there, so I don't know if that's true or not. But what I do know is true is that, you know, about this time last year, there was a big stink in the media about a pedophilia ring over in England that was reaching into the top echelons of British society. I think Prince Andrew even got mentioned. But anyway, and then they were saying, and it stretches across the ocean, across the Atlantic, and there are people in Washington. And then you don't hear that story anymore. It just kind of died away. And I do know because of the other work that's been done, such as police reports I've seen, the Franklin cover-up, which was a book that was published, and it's very widespread, and it's very ugly, and it's very, and it takes place at some of the top echelons of business and politics. So I would not just write it off as a figment. I don't know about this particular pizza place. I don't know if it's involved or not. I do know that it fits in well with the rampant corruption that's going on in Washington. And the thing that worries me and the thing that's so terrible about it, number one, is the fact that they're involving children, okay? And number two, the fact that that these high-placed people, officials are able to, you know, worm out of these charges. They always seem to go away, or somebody pays somebody off, or you know, there's some kind of a restitution made and money's paid, and everybody shuts up. And the fact that it's gone on for so long, the problem is it actually, you know, that's the story that really needs to be told, but that's the story that requires a major news team behind it, because I know there's been some individuals such as Max Fisher, I believe his name is, died over in Poland, who have tried to bring these stories to the public, and they somehow just always encounter a fatal accident, or they kill themselves or something, you know. And so it's a dangerous topic to get into, but if enough people, if they could break this into the public, get the public upset, demanding answers, then maybe you could start moving in the right direction. But I'm not very confident that that's going to happen.
Right. So it's going to continue on by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
We did reversals on the video that Jeff Rentz had up on his site on a 15-year-old girl who claimed she was raped and babies murdered and through Pizzagate, and reversals validated her story. She was telling a true tale.
But see, you know, here's something. Marguerite Oswald, Lee Harvey Oswald's mother, made this very clear to me. Knowing something and proving something is not always the same thing.
Right.
And when you've got, how old did you say this girl was, 15?
15,
Yeah, okay. So when you have a 15-year-old girl up against the Department of Justice, you know, you can better believe who's going to win, who's going to lose on that kind of a spitting match.
Yeah, this type of thing probably will never come to the light of day. It's just going to be in rumors and back rooms and...
Well, and in WikiLeaks, you know, we had those emails from John Podesta's brother talking about the satanic meals, okay, and the bloodletting and stuff like that. You know, that when you get, and he had the year of Hillary Clinton, okay, and had served an important post in the government. So when you get to that level, how are you going to prove these things? It basically comes back to what the Roman poet Juvenal wrote years ago. He said in Latin, but not in English, it's "Who will guard the guards?" Okay. Yeah. You know, if you say here in Texas, the local city police department becomes corrupt, what do you do? Well, you call the state police. They come in and investigate. Okay, but what if the state police get corrupt? Well, then you call in the FBI, and they come in, they investigate, see if there's any wrongdoing, and prosecute if there is. But what if the FBI becomes corrupt? Who's going to watch them? There is nobody.
No. Oh, it's a horrible, horrible thought. My God. Wow. So many conspiracies running around. So many of them. Well, you must, your head must spin at all of this stuff.
It does. It certainly keeps me running. But consider this, David. Here's my motto is that if it's not an act of God, because after all, you know, there are car crashes and planes crash and ships sink and there are accidents, okay? But if it's not an act of God, it's a conspiracy. Because somebody planned it that way. So, you know, our whole history, except for acts of God, you know, like the Johnstown flood or something, you know, other than that, it's a conspiracy. Somebody planned it that way.
Wow. Strange world we live in. What we see is not what we get.
That's very true. I may have steal that from you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Yeah, what we see is not what we get. Oh, damn. But my eyes were open. I started doing reverse speech back in the 80s. You know, I was very naive. You know, all our politicians were angels and gods. And,
you know,
and reverse speech showed me exactly the opposite was true, you know.
Well, there's a bunch of people in the UFO freaky issues department that I really wish I could subject to reverse speech, because I've run into so many people and they tell these incredible stories, but you never know. You can't prove anything. You know, it's just their word. You know, did they really get taken? Are they really part of the secret space float? You know, did they actually go on operational mission to a base on the other side of the moon? You know, and some of these stories, did they take a time travel? Were they able to time travel? And they tell these really detailed stories, quite colorful. But when it comes to, are there any photographs, documents, you know, contemporary writing? Did you tell anybody about this at the time? You know, and all like that. It's just all of a sudden it just kind of dries up, and it's just a question of, do you want to believe them or not? And boy, I wish there was some way. Of course, I guess we do have the tools, and we got reverse speech, we got remote viewing. You know, if we would concentrate on some of these issues, I think we get to the bottom of it. But the way it is now, everybody's just running around doing their own thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I wish reverse speech to be used more, because it's been such a long period of gestation. It's such a radical out there concept. Skepticism is high,
it does on the surface of it, but you know, I was on your first show, so, you know, I've been keeping up with it all along, and I know you've had the same thing. You probably were kind of skeptical of the whole thing going into it,
but after a while,
it's like, whoa, you know, this has been so consistent and so correct. You know, it's got to be real, it's got to be true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was a long gestation for me to really believe it. It took me a long time. It took me good 10, 15 years, you know, to really say, okay, I can believe this. I can accept it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like me and UFOs. As far as I know, I've never seen a UFO. I've seen some lights in the sky that do some weird things, but I would never try to tell anybody that it was aliens from space. I don't know. It's just a light in the sky. But on the other hand, I have come into contact with too many people. Real people. I mean, from everyday folks to pilots, both military and civilian, and air traffic controllers, police officers, military officers. And after a while, they all tell you these stories, and pretty soon you just know that there's something going on. You know, they're not making it up, and they're not all liars, you know.
I wish I had more time to reverse all these things.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Well, yes. Listen, let's tell everybody again, be sure and listen in Wednesday night to Jeff Rentz. Yes. And David and I are going to be on there, and David's going to be telling what he found out about RFK assassination, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have we have quite a detailed report. I think we've got the names of the people behind it.
Okay.
I won't let the cat out of the bag. We'll wait.
Save the best for the last. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to be really cool. I can't wait for that. That's going to be quite exciting and quite revealing. Something tells me it's going to be revealing, too. Is that true? Yeah. Are you going to reveal some stuff?
Yes, we will. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it'll be very revealing and eye-opening. Yeah.
Great.
Here, in the last couple of minutes we've got left, tell me about your latest book, Jim.
The latest book is Population Control, and you really need to get this one, because all my other books, The Rise of the Fourth Reich and the occulted history about the ancient astronauts and the Kennedy assassination and the financial corruption going on, these are all real stories, and they're very important. But Population Control, the subtitle is How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. And you need to read that so you'll find out what they're doing to you, so you can take steps to protect you and your family. This goes beyond politics. This is now self-defense.
All right. We'll look after that book. Jim, thanks for having us. Thanks for being on the show, mate. And I'll ask you again next year sometime, okay?
All right. As we say here in Texas, good day, y'all.
G'day, mate. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. We'll see you next week, everyone. That was Jim Mars. Bye-bye. Would you like to change your life? Maybe access your deepest potential? Do you have blocks that hold you back, or long-term issues you haven't been able to resolve? Then Reverse Speak Session Work is for you. With Reverse Speak Session Work, your voice is recorded and then analyzed for speech reversals. These reversals will give a detailed look into the unconscious mind and pinpoint precise reasons for current behavioral problems. Then following another recording, a series of metaphoric journeys into the unconscious mind are mapped out and delivered to you. These journeys will change deep unconscious structures and hence current behavior. Change your life today. Sign up for Reverse Speak Session Work. Go to www.reversespeak.com or call 503-568-7077.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3 commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rentz.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rentz.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times. You're listening to the Rentz Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at Rentz.com.